Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 25 of Proverbs. And again, this is not a book of poetry. It is a book of wisdom on how to live our lives. It's a roadmap of how to properly live our lives and how to react to things that come against us. Okay? And the way you react is usually not react. Right? Okay, I'll read it first. Verse 1, these are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. The heaven is for height, and the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better is it that it be said unto you, Come up hither, than thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest you know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor has put you to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that hear it put you to shame, and your infamy turn not away. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refreshes the soul of his masters. Whoso boasts himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks bones. Have you found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for you, lest you be filled therewith and vomit it. Withdraw your foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of you, and so hate you. A man that bears false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. The confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. As he that takes away a garment in cold weather and is vinegar upon nitre, so is he that sings songs to a heavy heart. If your enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he's thirsty, give him water to drink, because you shall heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward you. The north wind drives away rain, so does an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with the brawling woman in a wide house. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. It is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now we'll go back and see this. And there's a whole lot of the Living Bible that will line up pretty well with this. I'll bring it in when I feel it's necessary. We'll go back to the first verse and start over. These are the Proverbs of Solomon. What is the word proverb also interchangeable with? Parable. These are the parables of Solomon. And Solomon was the third king. His name means peace or peaceful. And who would he be a symbol of?
Christ.
The Christ, absolutely. And he was the king of Salem, or the king of peace, right? Which the men of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah literally means strengthened by Yah or Yahweh or God, you know, strengthened of God, the king of Judah, copied out, or they transcribed them from whatever language. They were transferring from one thing to another, from one writing to another, copying them again or transcribing them. And here's the first one. It says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search it out. But there's words here that are mistranslated, and the same word in multiple places is different words translated. In the first word, glory, and the word honor, the word glory and honor in this same verse are both the same word, kabod, which means glory, okay? So it should say it's the glory of God, right? To conceal a thing. Well, the word thing, and then the last word in the verse, matter, is also the same word as thing. It's the word dabar in the Hebrew, which means word. So what it should literally say, it is the glory of God to conceal the word, but the honor of kings is to search out the word. And the word search out literally means to examine intimately. Does that mean just sit and read a few verses every day? It means, so if you're going to be a king, there's going to be a desire in your heart, not just to read the word once in a while, once a week, twice a week, whatever, you know. There's going to be a desire in your heart. No one has to tell you if you're a king. You know why? The desire's in there. You're going to have a desire for this word. It's not that, it's just like a bug going to the light at night, you know. It can't help itself. It has to go there. And I can't help where I'm at, and I don't want to help where I'm at because I know this is where I'm supposed to be. So I go to it. And to me, I don't have any option. I have to search it out. I can't trust other people's rendition of what's going on. I know my mind is as untrustworthy as anybody else's, but I trust the Spirit of God in me to lead me and direct me which way I should go. That's what we all have to do. That's why I don't try to control anybody else. I want to give you everything I got, but you've got to make it workable in your life, don't you? I can't make it workable in your life. I can only give you information. I can drop the seed. You want that seed to go, you've got to water it. And you water it, and God will give you the increase. And that's according to this book. And God's not a man that he could lie. And I found that to be true in every aspect. Okay. Verse 3, the heaven for height and the earth for depth. Heaven, they love to use that word in the King James Bible and a lot of the Bibles, they love to use it. But it's literally the word sky. The sky for height and the earth for depth, and the heart or the mind of kings is unsearchable. Hello. I've been told that all my life. They'd like to figure me out. Well, this book tells me they can't search my mind out. Fit right in the pattern. We can laugh about it, but it's the truth. Let me look at that I went past it. Verse 3. The Living Bible says it this way. Verse 2 and 3 run together, so it's hard not to read it that way. It's God's privilege to conceal things and the king's privilege to discover and invent. You cannot understand the height of heaven nor the size of the earth or all that goes on in the king's mind. Nope, you can't. Verse 4. As take away or let it remove the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a what? Language literally says a prepared vessel. See, he's not talking about literally. These are parables, aren't they? They're not literal what we're saying. He's saying take away the dross from the silver. We are the material that's being shaped, aren't we? And if you take away the dross, the bad, the negative, the dirt and the garbage out of us, there'll come forth not just a vessel, but a prepared vessel. And isn't that what we're supposed to be?
Yeah. That dross only comes through the fire.
Through the fire and the testings of God, which God brings to us. It's not a punishment. He's doing it for us, not to us. And there shall come forth a prepared vessel for the refiner. Who's the refiner? Christ is the refiner. It's God. It's coming forth for him. It's all to bring forth what he wants. Verse 5. Remove the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. So he's saying, you know, if you got a king, and he's a king, and all you got to do to get him set in righteousness, you don't have to punish him. You don't have to threaten him. You don't have to beat him. All you have to do is remove the wicked. God's telling you what his task is. It's God's task to remove the wicked from us, isn't it? So when he wants to move it out, he will. But he uses it for his benefit on in many, many, many occasions. Until it's time, and then he takes it away. Verse 6, put not forth, be not proud, is what it should say. Be not proud in the presence of the king. And do not install yourself in the place of great men. You know, it's all talking about pride, isn't it?
Ego.
Ego of man. Don't put yourself up there. Let God do what he wants to do. It doesn't make any difference how much you know. It doesn't make how much God has prepared you until it's God's timing to install you in that position. I've seen so many of God's people get ahead of themselves. Wait upon the Lord to renew your strength, right? Mm-hmm. Wait. Don't be in a hurry. Just because you have the knowledge does not mean God has you timed at that time to use it. It's the hardest thing in the world to restrain yourself when your emotions are wanting to run. And when we're younger and inexperienced, it's even more dangerous for someone with a little bit of information that can be very, very dangerous and very harmful to a lot of people if they run out there and try to force that situation rather than waiting on God and then getting the job done immediately. Just take care of it, no problem at all, if you wait upon God in his timing.
The way I see it, just because you own a hammer don't make you a carpenter.
No, you can't drive nails just because you own a hammer. You're right. Just because you got a chainsaw don't mean you should be cutting trees down. Yeah. See people all the time doing things like that and getting hurt because they think, you know, see people buy cars, they think they can drive them because they bought them and they're too fast and powerful for them, and they end up getting hurt. Or boats or motorcycles, you see it all the time. They think if they can afford to buy them, they can drive them, and that's not true. Not true. Verse 7, because it is better that it be said to you, come up hither, than that thou shouldst be put lower or be humiliated in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. You know how humiliating it'd be for someone to come in and take a seat in a place where they shouldn't be, and someone come up and say, hey, you're not allowed to sit here. You have to go back and sit in the back. That's humiliating. I've seen that done in churches. I mean, that's totally insane. I mean, it's insanity for that. You know, you got your own private place, but that's the way they do it. That's not God's church. That's man's church. God would not do something to humiliate you like that. Not when you're sincerely coming to try to find some truth. That wouldn't happen. I know God better than that. Go not forth, verse 8, hastily to strive. And that word strive doesn't really do it justice. Don't go forth hastily to defend yourself. Just like you were sharing earlier, Lord, about flatlining. Don't be in a hurry to defend yourself. You know, when you go to defend yourself, you put yourself in the same category as the world, don't you? Because you back the world in the corner, and I guarantee you they'll eat your lunch, won't they?
Yep.
They'll take you out. And so the only way that we can show that we're different is we don't respond to threats and intimidation. We don't defend ourselves. Isn't God our high tower? Is he our shield? Is he our strength? He's our provider, our protector, our defender. Well, then if he's not doing it, then evidently I need to experience something. Right? So let it go. Let it go. It'll all come back around. And when you are a flatliner, then you will see the things come back around. Absolutely. Absolutely. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, verse 9, and discover not a secret to another. That doesn't do it any justice. That King James language would cause a lawyer to cuss, you know. What it literally says, debate your cause with your neighbor himself. That means if you got a problem with someone, go talk to him. Don't go talk to all the neighbors surrounding him. Go talk to him, right?
That's what most people generally do that.
They go talk to everybody else except the one they have the problem with. And that's the only one that can get it solved. But so they're just slandering is all they're doing. And it says, discover not a secret to another. And that's not what it says. It should say, reveal not the conversation of the other. Okay? Go talk to your neighbor, the one you got a problem with, and don't go tell everybody else. Just go, don't reveal it to anybody else. Just you and him take care of your issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
that make sense to you?
Yeah.
He just reveal it to no one else, just you and him, get it taken care of and forget about it, it's done. If you settle between you, it's nobody else's business, is it? Verse 10, lest he that hear it put you to shame and your slander turn not away. And the word infamy should be slander. And that's exactly what it is. It's slander. Verse 10, the word infamy. The King James has it, infamy.
Verse cusses more like, if he hears it, exposure, shame, and your reputation will be ruined.
Yeah. Well, the word infamy is incorrect anyway. In King James, it should say slander is what the word actually is there. Okay? Verse 11. A word timely spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And that's not real good. A word timely spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Okay? And you know, if you have a word for someone at the right time, they need to hear it. And how many times you say something to somebody, they say, man, I need to hear that. Well, that's why you heard it. Okay? Because it was your time, you needed to hear it. And God will provide what you need. If you trust Him, you know, sometimes you don't listen to what God's saying, He'll send somebody else in your life to speak it to you. But see, I would prefer to hear it from God every time. Sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. But sometimes He wants me to hear it from another avenue.
It's still God.
What do I care? If I can hear it, the main thing is hearing it. And He says, you're blessed if you hear, don't it? So that's the main thing. Okay, verse 12. As an earring of gold and an ornament, and that word an ornament, those two words shouldn't be that way. It should say, as an earring of gold and jewelry of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Now, the word obedient comes from the word shama. It means to hear intelligently with the intent to respond positively. Okay? So, it's saying a wise reprover is as valuable as that jewelry of fine gold. Okay? Upon the ear. An ear represents the hearing, doesn't it? An earring speaks of the hearing. Right? So the wise reprover is someone who speaks a word wisely. There's a lot of people that have information and have knowledge of a lot of things of God, but they don't use it wisely because they're like a bunch of young bulls running around bullying and pushing against everybody and trying to force the issue. They need to slow down, like Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. And the pattern is they keep slowing down, flying, running, walking. And we have to learn to slow down. And the only way we learn to slow down is what? One word. Well, time. If you wait upon the Lord, see, you're waiting, that's time. You wait upon God, and by waiting on God, you learn that wonderful gift of patience, that wonderful virtue of patience. Okay? And it is a wonderful virtue to be able to wait when, you know, the natural says, I can't wait, I got to hurry, I got to do this. The whole society is in a hurry, aren't they? And God's saying, no, slow down, just wait upon me. Be still and know that I am God. See, that's a form of waiting, slowing down. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest. At the end of harvest, there's a time for snow, isn't it? A lot of people hate snow. Some people like it just to play in it. But there's a purpose for snow. When snow falls, it drives nitrogen into the ground and makes the crops grow better next spring. They don't understand that. You know, there's a lot of purpose for it beyond just that, but that's just one of the purposes. You know, I don't like cold weather myself, but I know it does good for the earth, so what good's do to complain about it? I can't control it. I can't change it.
It replenishes the earth.
It replenishes the earth. It's something that God knows it needs, and it's going to do it whether you complain or not, so why complain?
How would that work in the spirit?
In the spirit?
It replenishes us.
in our downtime, in that time of harvest, that hard time in wintertime when it doesn't seem like there's no fruit being bared in our life, nothing to harvest. That's a time when we're being replenished. And that's something, I'm glad you brought it up. It's something that very few people realize. There's times and seasons we go through in our experience with God when we don't seem like we're going anywhere, and we say, well, God's not doing anything with me. Yeah, he is. He's recharging your batteries. You know, he's replenishing the things that you've used up that you need put back in there so you can continue on in your journey. He's restocking your backpack so you can go on your journey. Okay? There's a lot of things we don't realize. There's times when in my life that, you know, and I'll say it and I'm not a bit ashamed to say it, there's times when I don't open my Bible for weeks at a time. Or a week at a time, something like that, you know. Because I don't have to be with my nose stuck in here all the time. I can listen to my Father. Once you hear His voice, you can begin to hear things. It doesn't mean that I'm not communicating with my Father. It doesn't mean I'm not thinking and me and the Spirit are working on the Scriptures, you know. But I don't have to have my nose stuck in here. And I don't feel guilty about it, because there's a time when you eat that you must sit and digest your food. Is that true? And that natural teaches you about the spiritual. If I have to do it in the natural, I have to do it in the spiritual. There's times when I have to wait back off and say, just like it says in this chapter right here, verse 16, we're getting right close here. Have you found honey? Just eat your fill. Don't eat too much. At least you vomit up the good word you found, you know. Come on. You know, you got to take your time and let this, assimilate this into your life. When you hear something, you can't just hear it and say, okay, got it, ready to go. That's the way the world does things. That's not God's way.
Just like we were using, talking about being observant.
Mm-hmm.
He's placed us in a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're on the journey, like you said, about constantly reading the Word or mm-hmm. whatever, whenever I'm in a situation, I'm pondering where I'm at in that place of my journey to say, like we said before, okay, Lord, what are you trying to reveal to me? Is there something you're trying to... like we said, take the dross out of the silver.
Trying to show me something here.
Yeah, what is this for? Why am I in this place at this time? Is there something you want me to see? Is there something you want me to say?
And the answer is absolutely yes. Now I got to slow down and see what it is.
Right.
You don't have to ask the question really anymore.
No, I mean, I'm just...
But at one time you did, right.
That's just part of my daily walk.
Right.
And if you get out of that observation...
Awareness.
That awareness of mm-hmm. being on the journey, then your mindset is back into the current.
Back into the world. You're either in the world or out of the world, aren't you?
So you're kind of hit a obstacle on the journey, and you should be going on instead of...
And you're stuck behind a rock.
...laid at a roadside park somewhere.
You know, off one of them little trails on the side of the road. And that's exactly what it is. We have to learn that it's all there for a reason. And like you said, and I did the same thing for a long time. It's like, hey, what is it? What are you trying to teach me? I don't say it anymore. I know it's to teach me. So now that I know it's everything happens for a reason, so I'm not hiding from anything. Okay, what is it now? I just start looking automatically. Okay, what did I miss? Because if he does something that stops me, then I've overlooked something.
Yeah. That's what I said, being observant.
Observant. And I've missed something, so I got to back up. And like, and there's been several times over the years that I've missed something. It's like we went back on Proverbs 20 here a few weeks ago. We tried everything in the world, but there was things in there that was revealed the second time that I'd come through it that wasn't there the first time. And that was for me as much as anybody. You know, I needed to see something else in that thing. And I don't have a problem going back and do it again. Paul said it wasn't a chore to him to write to him again or to tell him things again, you know, the second time, third time, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. Because if I am sharing something, then I'm going to learn from it too. Because I'm the first one that hears it. So it's not an issue. But it is to help me. And I don't worry about it anymore. There's always something there for me, and I'm looking for it. And if we begin to look for it, it won't be like you're looking for bad things. You're just looking for the thing that will enrich your life. And so some people look at it and say, well, that's negative. No, it's not. That thing changed me. So I don't see it as a negative. I see it as positively a difficult thing that I went through that made me a stronger person. And what did the old lady say in her thing? If you go through it, whatever doesn't kill you really does make you stronger. If you live through it, it was definitely God making you stronger.
doesn't wine need
time to ferment? Oh, absolutely. To bring forth all of its flavor and
the
robustness.
The wine is the revelation. So you eat that word, and it has to take time
to ferment
before it can actually come out, and you're like that bell going off, and you're, oh my God!
It's no longer water now, is it?
No, I mean that's what, and you got to slow down to get that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what this book of Proverbs is trying to teach us, all these little intricate details. And when you start putting them all together, you'll see your life come to peace. Okay, where did I leave off there? 14. 14? I didn't finish that 13. The messenger refreshes the soul of his masters. Now, that word soul is not the normal word for soul. Okay? This word doesn't mean it that way, and it says this about this word. It says it refreshes the breathing part. Do you get that?
Mm-hmm.
What's the breathing part?
Spirit.
Exactly. Remember when Adam was formed in Genesis 2:7?
Yeah.
And God formed him from the dust and he put his breath. That's the breathing part. That's the spirit. See, so it's all in symbolism here, and most people read over it and they think, oh, just soul, and that's the end of it. You know, they just say, that's just a soul. No, that's the breathing part. That's the Spirit of God. So it refreshes the spirit of his masters. And the word master, the root of that word, goes all the way back to Adam. It's Adon or something like that. Can't pronounce it. It's not Adam. It's Adon. But it's a... pronounced differently, but it's a root of Adam. And that's where it all started, back in that breathing part back there, wasn't it? All the way back to that breathing part. That's what it's pointing to. Now verse 14. The man who boasts himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Look fierce, but no bite to him, is there? Verse 15. By patience is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bone. What's that telling you about? A soft tongue will break the bone. We're talking about rulership, rulers. The authority is not in the presentation, is it? It's in the actual office of authority, whatever God has placed his authority in. You don't have to, if you have authority, you don't have to tell anybody, do you? If you have authority in someone's life, they'll know it. They'll be the first one to know it. And if you try to flaunt it, they'll tell me the first right off the top, you don't have any authority. If you try to press yourself into somebody.
Who is your authority in?
Christ. Absolutely.
So you don't have to speak it out like, I'm strong and do it in your own strength. No. It's not by might, yeah, nor by power, but by his strength.
When I am weak, he is strong.
Yes.
So I don't have to push the issue. He'll take care of it. Okay, verse 16. Have you found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for you, lest you be filled therewith and vomit it. Okay? There's a parallel to that in Proverbs 24:13. It says, my son, eat thou honey because it's good and sweet, and the honeycomb which is sweet to your taste. And then down in verse 27 in chapter 25, it is again, it's not good to eat a lot of honey. You eat too much of it, it'll make you sick. Just like anything, any other rich food, what happens? It can make you sick by eating too much.
Like a great big old chocolate candy bar.
Well, that wasn't too much. You didn't see me vomit anything.
Just right.
Just right, brother. Just right. Yeah. Lois fed her cat this morning some milk, and she was being a beast. And there was a second cat trying to get a drink of it, and she wouldn't get out of that bowl because of that other cat. She drank way more than she should have. And Lois picked her up to move her, and she picked her up, she just squirted right out the mouth. There's a perfect example of this, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Don't eat too much. It just went, as soon as she put her hands around her to pick her up in the belly, it squirted out of her mouth. That was funny. Some people might have thought that was gross, but I thought it was funny. It was funny. As soon as you picked her up, he went, okay. Verse 17, withdraw your foot from your neighbor's house, lest he be weary of you and so hate you. Pretty easy, isn't it, to figure that one out?
Well,
Huh?
Don't wear out.
Don't wear out your welcome, because it's very easy to do. Living Bible says, don't visit your neighbor too often or you will wear out your welcome. Right? Simple. Verse 18, a man that bears false witness against his neighbor is a maul, a sword, and a sharp arrow. All three of those are tools of death and destruction, aren't they? And that's what a man is that bears false witness against anybody.
Old saying, sticks and stones.
I mean, break my bones, but words will not hit me. That's a lie.
Yeah.
Verse 18, let me read it out of the Living Bible. Telling lies about someone is as harmful as hitting him with an axe or wounding him with a sword or shooting him with a sharp arrow. Says it very plainly. Verse 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Now, them two things are very painful. Let me put in the the Living Bible. Putting confidence in an unreliable man is like chewing with a sore tooth or trying to run on a broken foot.
Your whole body
hurts. People don't realize how much your teeth are integrated into your whole body. Let me give you number 20 here. As he that takes away or removes a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that sings songs to a heavy heart. Literally, in the King James, it doesn't say that way. It should say, he that takes away or removes a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon carbonate of soda. Going to poof up, blow up. So is he that sings songs to the sad or unhappy mind. Now, Living Bible says it, I think, very well. Being happy-go-lucky around a person whose heart is heavy is as bad as stealing his jacket in cold weather or rubbing salt in his wounds.
Yeah, it's irritating.
It's irritating. Very irritating. Verse 21, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Right? Verse 22, because you shall heap coals of fire upon his head and the Lord shall reward you. Absolutely, it's up to him. You're doing the right thing and God will take care of it.
Just be a servant to
everyone. The north wind doesn't drive away rain, but it brings rain. It brings forth rain. So does an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. If you're angry, the backbiting's going to come, isn't it? See, and the King James says drives away. It's totally opposite. That north wind we had come through last night, what did it do? We got some rain, didn't we?
Yep.
Clashed with the warm air, and we had rain. Verse 24. It's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop, up in the attic somewhere, way up in the corner where it's hot and tight and dusty and nasty, rather than with a contentious woman and in a wide house or a big, beautiful mansion. Right?
That's been said a number of times.
I would think so.
He must have been around a contentious woman.
The Living Bible says it's better to live in a corner of an attic than in a beautiful home with a cranky, quarrelsome woman. And I could probably get some amens out of that. And we'll just let that go. Okay, verse 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Wonder what the good news is from a far country. It's the real good news from the spirit realm.
That wakes your spirit.
Yep. That cool drink of water. There you go. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. Living Bible says it this way. If a godly man compromises with the wicked, it's like polluting a fountain or muddying a spring.
Mm-hmm. Nobody can drink.
Nobody can get anything out of it anymore. So if I compromise with the wicked, and compromise is something that's always been against my understanding before I ever knew. I didn't like compromise. Never did, still don't, never will. I know people say compromise is good at times, but I don't believe that. Verse 27, it's not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. Let me read you from the Living Bible. Just as it is harmful to eat too much honey, so also is it bad for men to think about all the honors they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Pride will rear itself up every way in the world, and you got to be aware of it at all times. You can be walking and talking spiritual, and the next second you slip something out of that wet mouth where it's all slippery and that tongue will throw something out of there. And you'll be out of kilter before you know it. Verse 28. The person that has no rule or no control over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, the Living Bible says, as well as it could be said, a man without self-control is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls. See, they have no control over anything, and they're defenseless. They get so angry, they can't defend themselves. And I see people... Yep. When you don't respond, you're aware of what's going on. You can defend yourself if you need to defend something. But you can't defend yourself when you're angry, because anger is the wind that blows the light out of your mind.
That's right.
And you do that, you're not going to get very far. You're not going to...
Another verse, or on 27, it kind of says it would be a pride comes before a fall.
And a haughty heart before... Destruction. Absolutely. That's in Proverbs 2. All this is wisdom.
It's along the same line.
Yeah.